Starwood and Marriott reveal a major data breach. Apple Music is coming to the Echo. Instagram makes it easier to share stories with close friends and pay less. Fools influencers, or do they? What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro. This is Rich on Tech, coming to you with an extended version of the podcast. This is the version where I talk about all the cool things happening in the tech world, all the stuff that I think you should know about, including some of these top stories like the Starwood and Marriott hack. I'm also going to talk a bit about Recast TV. You guys apparently love the idea of that cord-cutting DVR. Plus my book, 101 Handy Tech Tips for the iPhone, published as a paperback this week. So I'll talk about that a little bit. But let's get started first off with Starwood. This is really interesting, and we're seeing these large-scale data hacks more and more. Basically, what happened was they had an investigation. They determined there was an unauthorized access to a guest database which contained information relating to reservations at Starwood properties on or before September 10th, 2018. So you're talking a lot of people staying at these hotels. They basically got an alert from an internal security tool regarding an attempt to access this database, and they realized that apparently there had been unauthorized access to the Starwood network since 2014. So this went on for quite a long time. Not sure why they didn't notice it before that time. But here's the deal. They have not figured out exactly. They have to kind of clean up the database that they found that was kind of taken in the hack, but they say they think it contains information on approximately up to 500 million guests who made a reservation at a Starwood property, and for 327 million of these guests, that information includes name, mailing address, phone number, email address, passport number, your Starwood preferred guest number, which may have changed now that they took over with the Marriott rewards as well. They merged those recently. Date of birth, gender, arrival and departure information, reservation date, and communications preference. All that stuff, not so bad with the exception of the passport number. But the one thing that is bad is the payment card numbers and payment card expiration dates. So that was all taken apparently as well. But the information used to decrypt all of that data on the payment cards, they're not sure that that wasn't taken as well. So again, let's say that they took the database that was encrypted. Starwood saying that they also might have gotten the key to unlock that database as well. So for other guests, information was limited to name and other data like the mailing address, email address, and other information. So what is Marriott doing now that this all happened? They've set up a dedicated call center, email notifications. So they've been starting to send emails to affected guests on November 30th. So that's the first day. So if you haven't gotten an email yet, they just started doing that. So it could take a couple days for them to do that. And they're also letting folks enroll in this web watcher service. And this is a service that monitors internet sites where personal information is shared, and you'll get an alert if some of your information is shared. And if you're not sure what a Starwood hotel is, if you stayed at a W hotel, a St. Regis, Sheraton, Westin, Element, Aloft, Luxury Collection, Tribute Portfolio, Lee Meridian, Four Points, and Design, and also their timeshare properties, I have stayed in the recent years at the W, Sheraton, Westin, Element, Aloft, and that's about it. So, yeah, my information's probably out there. This is bad. I mean, the information that they got, not so bad. I mean, passport number, definitely not something you necessarily want random people to have, but it doesn't seem like they got passwords, which is good. And if you're still reusing your password on various websites, don't do that. And this is another example of why you don't want to do that. This is some big news coming out of Apple and Amazon. Who would have thought that these two would be playing so nice now? Recently, Amazon and Apple announced that Apple products would be available for sale on Amazon. Now they're taking it a step further. Apple Music will be available on Echo devices beginning the week of December 17th. And that's just in time for you to enjoy some holiday music on your Echo device if you're a subscriber to Apple Music. And it's funny because someone was just asking me the other day what the deal is with Apple Music, and I was saying they really aren't available on any of these smart speakers except for the HomePod, obviously, and Sonos, but you have to have a complex Sonos system for that to work. But now here they are on the Echo devices. So you can now ask Alexa, I'll say, to play Beats 1 to hear Apple's radio station. I've listened to that on my run through the Apple Watch. It's okay. It's not my thing. I'm sure it's good if you listen to maybe some of the shows, and maybe you'll find a show in there that you like, but just to listen to it as radio, I've kind of gotten beyond that with Spotify and kind of all the playlists that I like, so it's tough for me to just kind of get involved in Beats 1. But if you want to start listening to that, and of course, all of the other stuff, I mean, now you can ask Alexa to stream all the stations that they have. You can also ask for music by name. So basically anything that you can do with Siri on the iPhone, if you have Apple Music and calling out your music, you can now do on the Echo. And to get started, all you have to do is enable the Apple Music skill in the Alexa app, and you can link up your account and start listening, which is really cool. And a little fun fact they put out on the press release here, top country is the most requested music to wake up to. So, okay, there you go. Instagram is changing things up with stories. This is basically the most popular feature of Instagram right now, stories, and I love it. I mean, everyone loves Instagram stories, right? It's just basically showing you throughout the day. It's easy. It's simple. It expires after 24 hours. You don't have to put too much thought into it, although a lot of people do. And it's just a fun way to kind of share what's happening in your life in a very casual way. And people love looking at these stories. They love posting them. I personally love posting them. I always forget to do it, but when I do it, it's really fun. Well, now Instagram is letting you make a close friends list on stories. So now you can share with just the people you've added to close friends. And I'm not a big Snapchat user, but this kind of reminds me of something that you can do on Snapchat with groups of people. And I feel like this is something that you used to be able to do on Instagram anyway with groups. Maybe there's some kind of difference here, but I'm not sure. But it seems like it's just a revamp of groups. But to add people to your list, you can go to your profile and tap on close friends in the side menu. Only you can see your close friends list. No one can request to be added to this list, so you can adjust it anytime. But people do kind of know that they're on this list, because when you share to stories, you'll have an option to share just with the people on your close friends list. And if someone has added you to their list, you'll see a green badge when you're viewing their stories. So that little green badge means like, oh, this is super special. And you'll also see a green ring around their profile photo in the stories tray, which is up at the top of your Instagram. So it's kind of a fun little feature. I immediately think of this as something I can do with my family. I've got a huge family back east in New Jersey, all my family members. And sometimes you just want to share maybe a little bit more intimate pictures of, you know, your life, your kids, all that good stuff, a little bit more personal than what you might do on your public. So I think this is a really cool feature for that, because it just makes sense that there are different levels of sharing, and Instagram is kind of admitting that. Speaking of Instagram, I don't believe this story at all, but it's making the rounds. Payless fools influencers with a fake store. That's the CNN headline. And I just don't believe it. I don't believe that this was real. I don't think that influencers were fooled. But I'll tell you the story, and I'll tell you why I think that. So Payless, you obviously know them. They have Payless shoe stores. They opened up a fake pop-up store called Paylessy in Santa Monica. I guess it was somewhere in Santa Monica, maybe on the promenade. And they invited influencers to a grand opening. And they had all these Payless shoes there, but they had prices, you know, $400, $500, $600. Really, the shoes were $20, right? So they fooled, or they said they fooled all these people. They, of course, did this stunt. They recorded the whole thing. They made a whole bunch of ads. They're getting a lot of press and a lot of play out of this. And according to the CNN article, it says that, shut up, are you serious? One of the shoppers says when she heard that the shoes were $20. It says over 80 influencers attended over two nights, according to Payless. They shelled out a total of $3,000. One shopper spent $640 for a pair of boots, which represents a 1,800% markup. Payless, however, returned their money and let them keep the shoes. They said the influencers were paid a small stipend to attend. So let me tell you why this story is bogus. Because number one, influencers do not spend any money when they go to events, okay? I've never been to an influencer event, and believe me, I get invited to a lot of these things, where you are expected to spend any money whatsoever. And I'm talking big electronics events where they're giving out a gift bag at the end of the thing where it might have a high value piece of electronics for these influencers. I'm talking clothes, shoes. There's never been an influencer event I've ever been to where someone is expected to shell out cash, okay? In fact, I don't think I've ever seen that. Usually there's an open bar, there's, you know, food, there are little, you know, things that you can take home, you know. So that's number one. So if any influencer was at this event spending $400 or $500 or $640 for a pair of boots, that's got to be bogus because that just doesn't happen at an influencer event. So clearly whoever was going to this event knew that there was something more going on here, especially when they got paid a small stipend to attend. That tells me that these were not influencers, but they were actors that were sort of told that this would be happening. You know, we want you to act natural. We want you to maybe purchase some stuff, but don't worry. We're, you know, you can purchase it, but we're going to reimburse you at the end. Whatever. I think that this was all highly set up. I'm sorry, but none of these influencers are spending $640 on a pair of shoes at an event. It just doesn't happen. They're getting these shoes gifted if they are an influencer of any worth. That's number one. Number two, I kind of looked up the tag on the hashtag Paylessy on Instagram, and guess what? There's almost zero posts, okay? So if they had real influencers at this event, there would have been a bunch of posts on Instagram about this event. The only posts that I saw that were on Instagram were from the people that actually set up this event, the advertising agency and the event marketing company that set up the whole quote-unquote bogus Payless storefront, right? Paylessy storefront. So again, I think that this is all kind of bogus. It's all a marketing scheme by Payless. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. I'm not poo-pooing the whole idea that people can be tricked. And yes, we live in a society where people are influenced by marketing and they're influenced by price. You put two bottles of wine in front of someone in a brown bag, I can tell the difference. I can tell you which one's the cheap one. Not everyone can. And sometimes I might be tricked and think that a $10 bottle of wine actually tastes better, but I'm not going to think it's an $80 bottle of wine most of the time. But yes, you can brown bag stuff and fool people. It's human nature. If you are treated a certain way and something is presented to you in a certain way, you're going to feel better about it. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, you spend $10 for a bottle of water inside a 5-star hotel. That bottle of water is literally 25 cents at Costco. And you're spending $10 on it. Why? Because you're in a 5-star hotel. That's what you expect to pay when you're in a 5-star hotel. Now, personally, I will stay away from that water by all means possible if I can, unless I am so thirsty I'm about to faint from hydration, dehydration. But the reality is we have these kind of ideas in our mind of what we expect to pay and how things are presented. And if you're in a store that's called Paylessy and it looks like a high-end store, you're not expecting to be tricked, even though, yes, you can be. So I just thought that was an interesting little story. It's getting a lot of play in the media, but I just wanted to give you kind of my thoughts on that stuff. One story we did on KTLA that was got a lot of play for real was the Amazon Fire TV recast, and you guys love this thing. This is a DVR for cord cutters. It lets you connect an antenna to this little box and then watch live TV on your TV. I know, what a concept, but also record that TV. And it reminds me of TiVo back in the day. I got super excited about that. I was a big TiVo fan. But the cool thing about this is that we are getting away from DVRs because we're so into streaming and on demand, right? So all of our shows are on demand and every major network has an app for on demand. But I'll tell you why DVRs are still more interesting to me. And that's because a DVR actually lets you skip those commercials. When you're watching on demand on Hulu and all these different services out there, you're not able to skip those commercials. So these big media companies actually like the fact that we're all moving to on-demand because guess what? They now control that experience again. And I get it. I work for a place that's free over the air, and I would love for you to watch commercials. I'd love for you to listen to the commercials in this podcast and others. But the reality is people have that control, and we have technology to give you that control, and it's kind of nice to have that control. Now, if it's a good commercial, I like to stop and watch it. Other people like to stop and watch it, and that's part of the marketers to figure that stuff out. but it's kind of cool. So anyway, the Recast TV also has no monthly fees, which is really nice as well. And that's a huge part of it. So you don't have to pay any monthly fees. The device is $230, lets you record 75 hours of TV. If you want, you can spend a little bit more and record, I think it's 150 hours of TV. I've been using this thing at home. It is fantastic. The integration with Fire TV is just amazing because I can go from watching a show on Netflix, right next to it, it says, hey, KTLA Morning News is streaming, is on live, and I can flip right to that. Or I can flip right to a show that I DVR'd, like Jimmy Fallon, and watch that. And it's really, really cool to have that all on one screen. And you might be thinking, Rich, come on, we've had antenna. You can connect an antenna to a TV forever. Well, yeah, but now it's all on the same screen. It's all on the Fire TV screen. And yes, you do need a Fire TV to make this all happen. Now, you don't necessarily have to have a Fire TV. You can actually use this thing and set it up independently of a Fire TV. But to really get the most use out of it, you do have to have a Fire TV because that's really the only way that you can set recordings, as far as I can tell. You can view your recordings from the app and you can watch live TV from an app on your tablet or your iPhone or your Android. But as far as I can tell, the only way to actually set those recordings and to kind of manage everything is to go through the actual Fire TV interface. Now, that may change in the future. Also, at this point, there is no support for third-party streaming boxes like the Apple TV, like Roku. That may come in the future, and I do think that Amazon will eventually build some of that stuff in, but right now that's not there. So you have to have, let's say, a Fire TV stick. I really like the Fire TV 4K, the brand new one. That is fantastic because the remote control has universal volume and mute buttons and power buttons on it, which is really nice because now you can have literally one remote control to control your entire interface and home theater setup, and one interface on your TV screen to not only watch streaming stuff, but also to watch your live over-the-air channels and your DVR stuff. And again, this does not work with cable. So I got a lot of emails yesterday, folks saying, hey, Rich, what if I want to watch Bravo? What if I want to watch Fox Sports? What if I want to watch this? No. None of that is included in over the air. These are local channels, channel 2, channel 4, channel 5, channel 7, channel 9, channel 13, channel 11 here in Los Angeles, and very similar channels where you live. You have to have an antenna to get those channels. Bravo is not delivered over an antenna. So if you want something like Bravo, or if you want CNN or some of these cable channels, you would have to supplement this setup with a subscription to some sort of streaming service like DirecTV Now or Sling TV. Those will work. And again, the other flip side of that is that those services have a lot of the local channels included in them, but not PBS, not KTLA if you're in Los Angeles. And maybe in your market, they may have other local channels that you like, especially some international ones that they just don't offer on the DirecTV Now or the Sling TV or the YouTube TV. So long story short, this is not a perfect solution, but it's a really nice solution if theoretically you wanted to cut the cord, stop paying for cable TV, you still have to pay for cable internet, some sort of high-speed internet, and also have all your local channels for free, DVR all that content, all those network shows that, you know, that air like Modern Family and I was going to say Letterman and Leno, but there is no more Letterman and Leno. But, you know, Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel, you can record that stuff. You can record your local news, all the sports that air locally. And that's a lot of programming. There's a lot of good stuff there. You can have all that for free over the air with this device. And then you can have, let's say, Netflix, because you pay $14 a month for that. You can have that. And then you can also have, Amazon Prime video if you have an Amazon Prime membership. So just those three things alone, all the over-the-air stuff, plus your Netflix, plus your Prime, that's a large amount of content. I don't know if you need much more than that. So if you like some of these cable channels, though, you will have to have a subscription for that. So some of you may know that my book, 101 Handy Tech Tips for the iPhone, came out as a paperback. This is very exciting because I published the ebook over the summer. It did very well. Thank you so much for supporting the book. I did it as a PDF and also as an ebook and also on the Kindle. And the number one question I got was, Rich, I want to read this thing as a paperback. And I'll be honest, What happened with the first book is I had every intention of making it a, well, actually I didn't. When I, to be honest, I actually wasn't going to make it a paperback at all. But when I started to kind of tease it a little bit, people were saying, you know, when can I buy this as a paperback? And I was like, all right, well, I guess maybe I'll make it a paperback. The problem was that formatting for a paperback was so different than formatting for an ebook. I didn't realize that. And I couldn't go back. By the time it was published, it was just not, there was no time to actually go back and make it a paperback. So I said, I'll take everything I learned from here. And when I do my next book, especially with all the emails I got, I will make this thing a paperback because that's what people want. And I did. I started this second version of the book, which was updated for iOS 12 as a paperback in mind. And when you do a paperback, you have to think about different things. Most specifically, the formatting of the book, the way it looks, the pictures, they have to be a certain quality, they have to lay a certain way on the printed page. And I kind of thought about all that stuff as I wrote it from the beginning. And here it is in my hand, the paperback book, 101 Handy Tech Tips for the iPhone, all updated for iOS 12. So I talk about all the things that are new in iOS 12. Creating a Memoji that looks like you, Memoji, taking control of your notifications because they're much easier now to manage, screen time, do not disturb, time limits for apps, screen time and content limits for your kids, downtime, this is a great one. If you want to say like from 5 to 7 p.m., your phone doesn't let you do anything, you can set that up. Google Maps and Waze, adding that to CarPlay, fun message effects, USB accessories, how to keep them from siphoning off your data, turn your iPhone into a virtual measuring tape, how to autofill passwords if you're not using one of these password management systems, and you can even use a free one that's built into the iPhone. I tell you how to set that up. It is essential in today's day and age. Group FaceTime, let's see, Siri shortcuts, setting up a second phone line, deleting a used boarding pass. I know that sounds simple, but those things linger forever. Look in your Apple Wallet if you ever used them. You probably have a bunch of them in there. And then I go into the basics, taking a screenshot, checking for app updates, how to cancel a subscription, setting up two-factor authentication, creating a medical ID for emergencies. That's really important. Emergency SOS. One cool thing, you can change the brightness of the flashlight. Did you know you could do that on your phone? Let's see, revealing the hidden search bars that are all over, erasing one calculator digit. That's pretty cool. The secret redial button. I mean, there's so many little things, changing your AirDrop preferences fast. I mean, this thing just goes on and on and on. Oh my gosh. I love this book. And I'm not just saying that because I wrote it. I love it because you have no idea how many questions I get from people about the iPhone on a daily basis. And it does not frustrate me. It's just one of those things that we all use this device, but we don't truly know how to manage it and all the things that it's capable of. And so this book just kind of goes through all those things that your phone does. You may not need to know how to do all this stuff right now, today, but the reality is I want to give you the tools you need to know just to understand what the phone is capable of. And then when someone says, hey, can you sign this piece of paper and email it to me? And you go, I don't know how to do that. Oh, wait, I read in Rich's book. I can sign a PDF right from my iPhone. I can make a piece of paper into a PDF right from my iPhone. Oh, yeah. These are the kind of things I just want to plant in your brain so that when you need the functionality, you know how to access it or you know that it's there. And then you can go back to the book and actually follow the step-by-steps and do it. So the book is 101 Handy Tech Tips for the iPhone. It's on Amazon. It's amazing, the process. I really want to write another book on just publishing a book. I self-published this on Amazon. The process is just amazing. The fact that we can do this in this day and age is just phenomenal. And the fact that I can reach so many people and get this book into their hands on the most popular shopping platform in America, maybe the world, I don't know. Maybe China has something bigger. But the reality is, it's just so cool. And I love it. When Sam Rubin, one of my colleagues at KTLA, looked at the book, he goes, oh my gosh, this is real. I said, yes, it's real. It's a paperback. It's thick. It has a lot of information. When you get this thing mailed to you, there's going to be a little smile that comes on your face because you're going to go, wow, I've known Rich. I followed him. And I feel like this is like literally Rich placing this in my hands from Rich's brain right to mine. And that's the way I feel. So it's on Amazon now. It makes a great gift for the holidays. If someone has an iPhone in your life, especially someone that doesn't necessarily know how to use all the features and you're kind of sick of telling them how to do all these things on it, get them this book. They will love you for it. And I guarantee you, they will come back to you and tell you, you know what? I really learned this or that from the book and I appreciate it. And so there you go. That's the book, 101 Handy Tech Tips for the iPhone, updated, simplified, and revised for iOS 12. So thank you so much in advance for that. It is already climbing the charts on Amazon, and I love the fact that they are doing that. All right, couple more stories to talk about, and then I'll let you guys go. But DJI Osmo, they came out with, DJI is the company known for their drones. They came out with this little thing called the Osmo Pocket. This is a new stabilized camera. They say it's the world's smallest three-axis stabilized camera. Now, I'm torn on this kind of stuff because I do carry around a GoPro in my bag, but I'll be honest, with the cell phones nowadays, I find myself needing these kind of small point-and-shoot cameras, video cameras, less and less. And I get it, if you're a blogger, influencer, maybe you want to have one of these things on hand to produce content. I do that stuff, and I rarely find myself needing it. It's nice to have. And this is a really cool thing because it's basically a highly stabilized GoPro. Imagine a GoPro mixed with a flip cam. Remember flip cams from back in the day? That's kind of what this thing reminds me of. It's 4 inches tall. It's got a little gimbal, a little stabilizer. It's got 12 megapixels for pictures and 4K video up to 60 frames per second. And it's a great little device if you can afford it, $350. It also has a 1-inch touchscreen on it, which is cool because you can see what you're shooting. And you can plug this thing into a USB-C or an iOS Lightning port to bring some extra functionality. The Osmo Pocket sells for $350 and it will ship on December 15th. Check it out if you're one of those people that is looking for kind of a GoPro style solution, but this is just a little bit different because you've got the GoPro style camera, but also it's stabilized and it just looks cool. It's really small. Android Auto is giving a little revamp to make things a little simpler. Now, I've been using Android Auto and Apple CarPlay for a while now. I personally think that Apple CarPlay has the much better layout. It's easier to access your apps. It's quicker to access your music. And the messaging function works better. And I think that Google is realizing this with their Android Auto layout, and they're kind of revamping stuff. So they have now made media browsing a little bit more visual and a little easier. Plus, you also see a visual preview of a message that someone sends you, which is also really smart. That only happens when your car is stopped, by the way. So if you come to a stop and you're at a stop sign or a light and someone texts you, you'll be able to see what their text says, which is really handy. I know distracted driving is dangerous and I don't ever want you to text or even look at your phone while you drive, but this is smart because sometimes you just want to see the response. You don't need to wait for Siri or for Google Assistant to read the whole response if you can just see something like okay, because it's actually more distracting for you to have to tap to hear that message from Siri or from the assistant. But this new revamp will be live in Google Play Books, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Pocket Casts, and Spotify. Also, popular messaging apps like Messages, Hangouts, and WhatsApp will work with the new messaging features. So when it comes to the media, there's an improved layout with larger album art views. So that's easier to find and browse than, I guess, the old way of doing it. And they also have improvements to voice search. So you can ask Google now to play songs and playlists and also types of music, and you'll get some categorized search results from your app right on the screen, which is also brilliant because the reason why I've stopped using the voice commands in Android Auto is because if you don't get them just right, it starts playing some playlist. You don't even know if it's the right one. It's kind of nice that they will actually now give you that visual response and you're like 80s music, and it will show you kind of like the different playlists that have to do with 80s music. That's smart. The functionality will be rolling out over the next few days, so check it out. And finally, let's end on this. I've got a friend who we always talk about the interest rate on our savings account because they seem to be going up at some of these online banks, right? And I remember back in the day when I think it was E-Trade, I had an account there, and it was like 5% interest, which was pretty awesome. Now, obviously, we know that those, I think that same account is down to like 0.10. But some of these big accounts, they do have, you know, 1 to 2% interest. Maybe some of the online accounts have even more than that. But T-Mobile now has their own virtual bank that you can sign up for. It's called T-Mobile Money, and they give you a debit card. And for all intents and purposes, this is a little checking account that you can use. I don't think they actually give you checks, but you can obviously bill pay and that kind of stuff. Do they have checks in here? I don't think they do. Maybe they do. Mobile check deposits, pay bills with T-Mobile Money. Yeah, I think you do have to use all the mobile functions. And for me personally, I write like one check a month to one place that does not take a credit card or a bill pay. I mean, I guess I could do bill pay with them, but it's just easier to write the check. But yeah, I hate writing checks, so I don't really use that functionality on my checking account. But long story short, the magic of this account is that they give you 4% interest on your money in the checking account, which is pretty rare. So there is a catch. You have to be a T-Mobile customer, not to get the account, but to get that 4%. Anyone can sign up for T-Mobile Money. And if you sign up, it's actually a pretty cool little account. It's all digital. It's very high tech. It's very slick. You get a MasterCard debit card. You get fee-free ATMs at the Allpoint network, which there are a bunch of Allpoint ATMs out there, 55,000 of them. There's also no fees whatsoever. So there's no overdraft. There's really nothing. There's no fees whatsoever with this. No monthly maintenance fees, whatever. You do have to deposit $200 a month into the account. And does that have to be direct deposit? I'm not sure. There's really no fees at all, which is nice. So if you're a T-Mobile customer, you get 4% interest on your money in this checking account. If you're just a everyday person without T-Mobile, you do get 1% interest, which is pretty much in line with a lot of the major bank accounts. So I think this is a cool deal. And if you're a T-Mobile customer, I'd take a look at it. Personally, I have a separate, I don't like using credit cards as much as I do my debit card. And there's reasons for that. I like to stay out of debt. So that's why I use my debit card as much as possible. If I'm traveling, yes, I will use my credit card. But for day-to-day stuff, I really like to use my debit card as much as humanly possible, because guess what? The money's there, and it actually hurts me more to spend real money than it does to have me spend money on a credit card. And I'm sure you feel that way too. So I love using a debit card, but I do like the idea of having a separate account for your debit card of the day-to-day spend money, right? And so this is a perfect account for that, because you can get your debit card, you can put your money in there. If you're a T-Mobile customer, you're getting 4%. There is one more catch. You only get it up to $3,000, but you know, I mean, I don't know how many people are keeping more than $3,000 in their checking account. So it's not a bad deal. And you can use this kind of as your day-to-day spending account. And I love it, because you're staying out of debt. You're getting a good return. There's no fees. You can use it with Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, Google Pay. You can use it with bill pay. You can deposit checks into there. You can have your, you know, portion of your paycheck put into this. And it's a pretty nice little offering. So again, tmobilemoney.com. You can check it out and see if that's something that's right for you. And that's going to bring us to the end of the podcast. Thanks so much for all of your emails, your tweets, your messages. I do read them. I do respond to them. If you want to follow me on Instagram, I'm @RichOnTech. On Twitter, I'm @RichDemuro. My website is richontech.tv. You've probably heard me say that a zillion times. And my Facebook is facebook.com/richontech. Let me know what you think of this longer version of the podcast. And if you like the podcast, you've been enjoying what I'm doing here, take a screenshot of it and post it out on social media, and be sure to tag me so I can restory that, or I can retweet it, or I can, you know, just enjoy it and smile and sit back and know that when I'm talking into this microphone, someone out there is listening, responding, and smiling when I say thank you so much for listening. I do really appreciate it. If you want links to anything I talk about here, look in the show notes or go to my website, richontech.tv. And you have a great day. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Rich DeMuro. I will talk to you real soon.